Hey everyone, this is Sick Puppy.
This is the Most Reverend Father Spoon.
Coming at you with episode 44 for ShouldIDrinkThat.com, or even if it's crap.
We drink it.
So you don't have to.
This is a special episode for Yinz, guys. We're here at the Steel City Big Pour 2008, the second edition.
Bigger and better than last year.
And quite possibly the best beer fest you're ever going to witness.
Yeah, no doubt. If you missed it the last 2 years, you got to make it next year. For sure. So what we got coming up for you guys is interviews with a lot of the brewers and some of the folks that were there.
A lot of crowd interviews. There's a lot of fans coming up here. We talked to the organizers, talked to the brewers, talked to people that make the food, talked to just about anybody who wants to listen to us.
That's
and
right.
Talk to us. So strap on down your seat, grab a beer, and let's get on with the show.
All right, here we go.
And we are here with Dave, one of the organizers of the event. Can you tell us a little bit about the location, Construction Junction, and what the Beer Fest is all about?
Yeah, Construction Junction is a nonprofit dedicated to recycling building materials to keep the material out of landfills and also to recirculate the cultural heritage of our community. We have about a 70,000 square foot building here in North Point Breeze. We're almost 10 years old, and this is our second year for the fundraiser. The funds raised from this event go to support our mission, expand the reach of what we do, expand the amount of materials that we bring into the building and redistribute through the community.
Awesome. You guys got a great thing going here, especially for the community and especially all the beer geeks. So we are definitely looking forward to spending some time here and drinking all the beers, and hopefully we'll run into you a little bit later.
Okay, great. Yeah, we have a few new features I do want to point out. We've got a Belgian feature, which is a special area where we have Sharp Edge and Point Bruges restaurants combined with Omegang and Unibrew. And then all the other brewers, many of the other brewers have donated barrels to that. And we have some cool contraptions that we build out of reused materials to pour the beer. So definitely check that out. And then the organic feature is one where we have organic, certified organic brewers, Wolivers, Peak, and Eel River. And that's combined with some locally grown food and vendors and farmers and things like that. So that's really a cool one to check out as well. I guess the other thing I'd mention is Scott Smith from East End Brewing. We came up with the crazy idea of brewing a festival beer and approached Scott, and Scott can never turn down a good idea or a crazy idea, even though it was a lot of work for him. And that beer is going to be put on with some flame and ceremony about midway through the session.
Awesome. Well, now, is that on draft, or are you guys bottle that? Or
No bottling. It's on draft. We're pouring a tap handle at the hot metal pour here mid-session. And then the only place you can get it afterwards is at Scott's Growler Hours, Harris Grill, and Fatheads. They committed to buy the beer and put it on tap after the festival. But I don't expect it to last too long. So,
especially with us two in line, it won't last long at all. We'll just keep circling through the line, man. We'll be good. All right, man. Hey, thanks a lot, Dave. Appreciate your time, man. We'll probably run into you a bit later. So you just heard a little short interview there with Dave, one of the organizers from the Steel City Big Pour.
It's quite muggy out here. It's a muggy day, but it's got a nice breeze coming.
Yeah, I'm very glad this is a indoor brew fest today because it's a shitty Pennsylvania, rainy, stormy, thundery day.
But thankfully, there's enough art and beer and food inside that's going to keep us all pretty happy. And there's a lot of eye candy here, too. So Father Spoon's a happy father.
Oh, dude, it's a buffet here, man. There is women abound. So on that note,
Let's head inside. Let's go find some food. Let's drink some beers and
look at some legs.
Let's get the show going.
All right, brother. Hey, this is Sick Puppy once again. We are here at the East End Brewing Booth with Scott Smith. This is the holy grail of local brewers, and I guess that would make you the Jesus of local brewing.
No, I've never been. I've been called Jesus before, but that was when I had more hair.
These days, I bet Jesus would even shave his head now.
He's got to be a beer fan. I mean, that whole water into wine thing, really, it was more about turning water into beer. But I do that every week, so.
Right. I mean, people that wrote the Bible probably are wine snobs anyway, so.
Yeah. Only the beer back then was a little edgy to begin with. So.
Yeah, right on. So what do you guys got pouring today, Scott?
We're doing four beers out of our regular. Well, everything's a little wacky in the lineup here. We've got Monkey Boy Hefeweizen, which is our newest year-round beer. It was a spring seasonal this year that we've now made to a year-round offering just due to popular demand. The last kegs of a batch of Snowmelt Winter Ale that we brewed this summer to go with the barley wine release.
Like a Christmas in July kind of a thing?
Exactly, yeah. Well, the barley wine was 6 months late due to labeling issues, so rather than have it be all by itself, we brewed some Snowmelt to give it a little moral support to survive the hot summer months. And today is the first day we're pouring Big Hop Harvest Ale, which is our flagship beer but done with wet hops. And we brewed about 45 barrels of it this year, really maxed out the brewery's operations and tanks just so we could make as much of this as we could, because you got to brew it when the hops are fresh. You can't come around and make another batch. You got to be all at once.
Even on that note, Scott, I know we had discussed earlier about the hop shortage and everything. Looks like you're doing okay now, huh?
It's, you know, I've had some good luck. Bill Croft at Marzoni's, that I was doing some collaborative brews with before, the Goes and the Lichtenhainer, he happened to find himself in a fat situation on Cascade and Centennial hops, which is unbelievable. And so I was able to buy out the rest of his contract and get all the hops from him. So it's like Christmas morning, just, oh, my God, I can make beer. I'm so something to take for granted. And the best part is he got them at the old price, too, because he contracted in advance. So it's like inexpensive and plentiful, exactly what I want hops to be.
So Scott's thinking, well, let me throw it all into one vat for a harvest ale. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, and actually the harvest ale, no hop shortage on that one, because that's all with East Coast hops that are wet hop or wet fresh grown and used as a wet hop. So these came from Peterson Farms in New York State, and a portion of them actually came from Pennsylvania. A guy I know has some hops growing on a property up in Portersville, and it's all sustainably grown with rainwater, and he doesn't do any spraying on it at all. And he just brings me, like, shopping bags full of hops at this time of year. And so,
well, you know, I grew hops this year, too, but the Japanese beetles about killed it. How the hell does he keep them off of his?
I've heard if you strip the leaves off the first couple of feet, it keeps them from crawling up and keeps the bugs down. Well, but beyond that, yeah. Establishing a good rootstock, right? Yeah, exactly. Just to keep telling yourself. Yeah. Establishing the rootstock.
They're first-year hops, so I forgive them. You got something else special going on today, right?
Yeah, right now we've got the Fat Gary Nut Brown Ale in the fourth slot on the draft box here, but two more beers are coming later in the session. Halfway through this session, the guys that are pouring the molten metal out in the parking lot are going to cast a tap handle for us, and we're going to carry that hot tap handle through the festival floor here and use it to tap the very first keg of our Big Pour Brew, which is the Belgian Double Cherry. So it's a Belgian double-style ale that's fermented with sour cherries.
And you guys brew that just for this event, correct?
Yeah, it's just a custom brew for the Big Pour, and we'll have that at the brewery in starting, actually, after we debut it here, synchronized with time, it'll go on tap at the brewery for growler hours, and then also at the Harris Grill and at Fathead's. They'll have kegs of it around, too.
Do you want to tell some of the local people that may not have hit East End yet what your growler hours are about and when they are?
Yeah, a lot of people assume because, well, at least everything else in Pittsburgh, every brewery that's here also has a pub associated with it. We're unique in that we really don't have a place where you can sit down and drink a pint of beer. But we do have growler hours where you can come out and taste all the beers in the lineup and take a half-gallon jug of beer home with you. So that's open. We're open now Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 5 to 7, and Saturdays noon to 5. And so that's actually become a real surprise for us. I mean, it's become half of the revenue stream of East End Brewing, considering the unmarked building that we're in with no sign up front and not exactly on the beaten path.
Just look for, I think it's East End Brewing on the door in a Sharpie.
Yeah, actually we upgraded to a stencil. So we had left over from our kegs, you see the stencil there? So we took the spray paint to the door and went upscale.
Awesome.
All right, man, we're going to let you get back to your thing. It's been great talking to you. Thank you for your time.
And don't forget to come back at, we've got a Firkin just conditioned here from Piper's Pub of Blackstrap Stout that we're going to put on at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
That beer was brewed on Monday, so it doesn't get any fresher.
Yeah, exactly, bud, exactly.
All right. Have a great
best. Hey, thanks again, man. We're looking forward to doing a whole show with you. I know our schedules have been kind of jacked. We've been trying to do this for a while, but we'd love to do that. So. Sure, man.
Something that'll run into growlers, or we can have some fun.
All good. Right, well, yeah, we'll work it out, man. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. All right, we are outside right now because it's hotter than a three-pecker goat in a fucking brew fest. It's a very muggy day here today in Pennsylvania. We are out here with Brandon from the Church Brew Works, and we're going to interview him out here where it's nice and cool. Oh, whoops.
Formerly Church Brew Works, now Rock Bottom.
Sorry about that, brother.
No problem.
It was the glass you're holding. Whoops. I'm not even going to edit that. Fuck it. So tell us why you left the church. I just wanted to say that. Yeah. Anyway, Brandon, you want to tell the folks what you have on tap here today?
Today we're pouring what's pretty much standard fare for us at beer fests. We're pouring our Lumpy Dog Light Lager for the lightweight folks who are trying to get something to clear their palate. Nice, crisp, light lager. We're also pouring our high-level brown. Nice and chocolatey, but still, you know, good for a session, good for this type of application. And then the last half hour of each tasting, we're going to be tapping our Imperial Stout in place of the brown.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Is that a special brew that you guys do, or is it just for this event? Or
the Imperial Stout actually predates me working at Rock Bottom. It was brewed, I'm going to take a wild guess and say maybe February, January of this year. We've had it aging since then. Wow. We had one half barrel of it left and decided that we'd take, you know, 10 gallons of it, put it on cask, and the other five we'd bring here for a limited tasting.
Beautiful, man. Hey, we're looking forward to it, man. Thanks for talking to us, Brandon.
No, no problem.
Eat a bullet.
Hey, this is Father Spoon. We're here at the Trogues booth at the Seal City Big Pour. I'm joined here by Mike from Trogues. If you could tell us a little bit about the brewery and also what you guys have on tap today.
We have Hopback Amber Ale, Troganator, which is a double bock, and then we have a Dead Reckoning Porter, which is a seasonal. We're in line to do about 18,000 barrels this year. I think last year we did about right around 13,000 barrels, so we're, you know, about a medium size brewery. We're in our 11th year of production. Let's see what else I can say.
One thing I do want to know is, where's the drinking horn at?
We didn't bring any today, but we do the local art. We do have a local artist that hand makes those for us. It has no bottom, flat bottom to it, so when you drink it, yeah, you can't put it, when you start drinking it and fill it, you can't put it down. Yeah, so you have to drink the whole thing. I believe it holds 22 ounces. And we just started production of 22-ounce bottles of Troganator, and our Mad Elf will be available in 22-ounce bottles this year as well.
Oh, that's going to be perfect. In fact, we just started to see these around the Pittsburgh area, your 22-ounce bottles. Let me tell you, I put a big smile on my face seeing Troganator that big. Plus, we also get them for about $5. So it's definitely the best bang for your buck, too.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's done really well for us. We've gotten a couple medals at the Great American Beer Festival. I believe we got silver this year. Let's see what else. Mad Elf, we started production of Mad Elf. That will be released November 1st. I'm not sure the total barrelage are going to do of that this year, but just generally, I work in packaging, or help run the bottling line, do kegging. Yeah, with us, normally we start bottling the Elf about beginning of October, and we started the first bottling was day after Labor Day, so we're in line to do a lot of Elf this year.
So what's your favorite Trogues beer?
Hopback is my daily beer, but my favorite is Nugget Nectar. I wouldn't be upset if we made it year-round, but I don't make those decisions.
Oh, very cool. One last thing, what's the website?
That's trogues.com.
There you go, www.troegs.com. All right, Mike, thank you very much.
Sure.
Himself. If you haven't guessed it by now, we're now at the Oscar Blues tent. And old Chubb himself is here. Or so to say, that's what the rumor is. Oh, you got people to fill over here. Oh, you should be double fisting.
Big dry, oh, David Hopp, I'll take it. It's hoppy. Nice citron lab beers.
Father Spoon, should I drink that.com? We're here at the Voodoo Brewery booth at the Steel City Big Pour. We're joined by Matt. And Matt, what do you have on tap?
Well, we've got four of our beers on today. We have our Pilzilla, which is our overly hopped nine variety German, Czech, and Polish hop Pilsner. It's a Keller beer, unfiltered. All of our beers are unfiltered. We have our White Magic of the Sun, which is our voodooized Belgian-style wheat beer with peppercorns, juniper berries, orange peel, coriander, and lemongrass. And then we also have our Four Seasons IPA. The edition that we have is the summer edition. It's all American malt, all American hops, and American yeast. And then we have our Winona's Big Brown Ale, which is seems to be doing really well for us today. It seems to be the crowd favorite. So,
now, for somebody trying out Voodoo for the first time, why should they drink your beer?
Because everyone tastes different. And I feel that each beer should have its own personality. Personally, myself, I have, I think, registered 12 different personalities. So I try and make a beer for each one of those. And they sometimes become combative, but at least at the end of the day, it's still a fun time. So our goal is basically try and make beers. We put them in the bigger bottle so that people want to share beer. And the more beer you share, the better it is for the beer industry and the happier everyone is at the end of the day. It's my term and my way to getting towards world peace, I guess.
Well, this is definitely a great way to do it. My personal favorite is the Four Seasons IPA. Delicious. And let me tell you, when you can have it out here at a beer festival, that's the best way to go. But also, hey, go out to your stores, pick it up in the bomber bottles. It is available in most Western Pennsylvania. What is your distribution?
Vicini's is our distributor for all of southwestern Pennsylvania. Right now, we are all the way through Pennsylvania with our master distributors. We are also in New Jersey, and we just launched Detroit, Michigan. So,
perfect. And do you have any special surprises for today or coming up on the horizon here?
Not today. We're really kind of packed for beer right now, so we brought what we could bring because we've got two festivals to do. And we just reopened the Blue Canoe Brewery in Titusville, so that's kind of been weighing on my time as to get anything. We are going to be bringing the Black Magic and the Big Black Voodoo Daddy are going to be available in Pittsburgh in November and December.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, thank you very much. And one last thing, pimp the website.
VoodooBrewery.com.
There you go, Father Spoon at the Voodoo Brewery booth.
Hey, everybody, this is Sick Puppy. We are here at the Erie Brewing booth, still at the festival, obviously, getting our drink on, and I am here with
Jim from Erie Brewing.
Howdy. Jim motherfucking Hicks, baby. You want to tell us a little bit about what you guys got on tap today?
Today we're pouring three of our normal beers that we always brew, a Real Bender Ale, our best-selling beer, our Prescal Pilsner, typical Pilsner beer. We're also pouring our Misery Bay IPA, which is a nice drinkable IPA, which Sick Puppy's drinking right now.
It's excellent.
Also, we're pouring our Heritage Alt, which is one of our fall seasonals, and then our Drake's Crude, which has been aging for around 8 months right now in the bottle. Beautiful, delicious. So if you're not here and you're from, you know, somewhere across the world, a country, I think you got to make plans next year to get to Construction Junction, to this great brew fest. What, 30 different breweries, majority of them from the great state of Pennsylvania and the surrounding tri-state area. It's a tremendous show, our first year here, and I believe we'll be here every year.
Well, sadly, I think it's 30 minus one.
Yes, they're the one closing, unfortunately, but 29 is still great. Some great local people here pouring, serving out some great dishes, and it's an excellent show. So, you know, people who go on the website, check out this podcast, should definitely make plans next year to come to the show for sure.
And what's your website again?
It's eriebrewingcompanyco.com. Also, check us out at some other great beer shows in your area. And if we're not in your area, get on your ass and get off your ass. Go to your local wholesaler and tell them you want Erie Brewing Company. Email Jim Hicks, and I'll make it happen. We'll get some Real Bender in your area, and we'll get you fucked up.
Awesome, man. If you see the Should I Drink That guys out there, say, hey, asshole, buy me an Erie Brewing beer, you fuck.
Make sure that you buy Sick Puppy a Real Bender, too, and tell him, I don't care if you like it or not, drink it, douche, drink it.
Everyone knows how much I love the Railbender.
We know that you love hardcock.
But, you know, I was just going to say that. Your hardcock is way better than the Railbender, my friend.
Even though it's the same beer, I think it's the whole stigma that there's something underlying going on that you just like hardcock.
You know what, though? No bullshit. I heard rumors you're not doing that beer anymore.
No, it was a private label. These guys are from the Air Force. They're a little goofy. You know, when you spend that many years in the service, something goes wrong. And I guess when you spend that many years in close quarters with men, all you think about is hard cocks. I'm not. I love the service. I support everybody. But that was their beer. It was a hard cock ale. And I just didn't get it. But they're great guys. We did it for them. We'll support them any other time if they want to do any other beers.
I don't know who the hell it was. Last time we were up at the Erie Brew Fest, one of your guys had mentioned, I forget who the hell it was, but they said they wanted to make a hardcock light and call it Limp Dick Ale.
That was Bruce, the general manager. And he told the guys that would be a great place to put the beer at a strip club, especially a male strip club, Limp Dick Ale. So it's like a Chip and Dale's place. But it was just a small little packaging guy.
How about an Erection ESB?
Yeah, here we go, an Erection ESB. You know, it's just better than Viagra.
Dude, I got ideas going through my head right now. I could do, like, porn brewing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm there, man. Vaginal blood fart, red ale, all that good stuff, man.
Porn brewing company, Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
Have to relocate, yeah. Blue Ball Brewing Company. All right, Jim, it's been a pleasure once again, man.
Always
thank you.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
He's fucking lying. All right, brother. Thanks, man.
Take it easy.
All right, buddy. Sick Puppy once again. I am here with Fred from Hoppin' Frog Brewery, one of the best friggin' breweries in Ohio as far as I'm concerned, and one of the best Belgian ales made in the United States. Yeah, hell, even over Omegang, I'll say it. Yeah, Fred. Love your beers that much, brother.
You're too kind.
Well-deserved, too, man. Well-deserved. Can you tell us a little bit about what beers you have on tap here today and a little bit about your brewery and your little history, maybe?
Absolutely. I can run it down. Today we have our Silk Porter, which is an oatmeal porter. We have our Boris the Crusher Oatmeal Imperial Stout, which is rated one of the 100 best beers in the world on ratebeer.com and on beeradvocate.com. So I'm very proud of that. Let's see. We also have our Hop into Heaven IPA and our Mean Man Alishi Double IPA, which is also rated one of the 50 best double IPAs on Rate Beer and on Beer Advocate.
That beer's like a meal in itself. I love that beer.
Yes, it is. There's 8.1 pounds of hops per barrel in that. So when you see the Sam Adams commercial where they show the 1 pound of hops per barrel, we've got 8.1. And the good thing about Hop and Frog is we have long-term hop contracts.
I was just going to ask you about that.
You know, it's so important to lock in the hops that you need so that you can get them. I learned that early on. I've been a professional brewer for about 12 years. And early on, I learned if I don't do that, the hops that I get are going to vary in their bitterness level, so you'll be constantly recalculating, and that's going to make your beers less consistent. And with the hop crisis the way that it was, I had to sign 5-year contracts in order to get the hops I need. But if I didn't, I wouldn't get them. It's more important for me to be able to make the perfect pint. I'm in a quest for the perfect pint. You might see our prices go up, but our quality, if anything, will not go down. It will go up because we've actually found a refined way to buy our malt. We prepay now, so it saves us 2%, not much at all. But what I'm finding is I buy from a different supplier that has a higher grade malt that will allow me to prepay. That higher grade malt creates less sediment. So now in our double IPA especially, where we used to have a too much sediment, now you'll see virtually none. So I'm really happy with the changes we've made. And the hop aroma and flavor especially, unlike a lot of other breweries, it's going to remain the same because they got these long-term hop contracts. It's so important for us because we are Hop and Frog.
Yeah, you are a Hoppin' Frog, man. And I know a lot of brewers are concerned about the hops, and I guess you should feel pretty lucky to get that good contract. And you know, and I assume you got locked into the older prices as well, right?
No, I didn't, unfortunately. What happened was I would lock in for a year, and then I'd get the low price. Year, I'd get the low price. Then the prices went up, and they said, no more 1 year, no more low price. They said, you have to sign for 5 year, and you have to sign for the prices now. And I talked to them a little bit about, will the prices fluctuate? They should fluctuate a slight amount, but I won't ever see the prices that I got before unless I buy new hops from someone else or I sign additional contracts, which I completely expect to. Our brewery was signing for hop contracts that were actually somewhat minuscule. We were making about 500 cases a month. That's not much for a brewery. We expect to double that in the next 3 months because we just added some equipment to our brewery so we can double our production. When we need more hops, they'll be available and I can sign at those low prices.
You have to double that because of me.
Nice to hear. Nice to hear. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate the kudos. Thanks. We try very hard. I feel like I'm brewing my beer for me, for my friends, for my family. I'm brewing what we want to drink. And if everyone else likes it, great. But if they don't, we'll sell a little less. But my goal is to make the best possible beer I can for me. And everyone else seems to like it too. It ends up being more expensive than the average beer. But we're a specialty beer. We're for special occasions. That's right. Yeah, not too many people will buy our beer on a weekly basis, maybe on a monthly basis. That'll be enough to keep us in business, and we'll grow. We'll go into more and more states and continue to make really, really high-end beer because that's where my niche is. When I used to be the corporate brewmaster for Thirsty Dog, we won 14 real good medals at the GABF and World Beer Cup, the two largest contests in the world. We were winning with really robust beers. One of the reasons why is we had a brewing system that allowed us to process 50% more malt than a normal brewery. So I could make these hellacious, phenomenal beers. We got known for that, started winning contests with that stuff. So when Thirsty Dog closed their restaurants, I bought that brewing system. So that's why I can make these insane, robust, very flavorful beers. People seem to really gravitate towards those when you're looking for a great beer experience.
I know you just mentioned Thirsty Dog, and you said you've been brewing for 12 years.
Yes, that's where I brewed most of the time.
So your 12-year history started with Flying Dog?
Not Flying Dog, but Thirsty Dog Brewing Company. I was their brewer before they had the name Thirsty Dog until they had the last restaurant. I was with them for about 8 years. We developed 30 really good beers, and they've ran with them now. They sold off the bottling division to another company, and they're doing phenomenal with it. And now they're in Akron. They've been able to save enough money throughout the sales while they were contract brewing my beers to afford their own brewery. Now they've built a big brewery in Akron. So now we support each other. We're only about 5 minutes away from each other. And I've helped them countless times with chemicals and caps and whatever I can. It's a great community that we have because we support each other because we know we're getting the word out about high-end craft beer.
Yep. As we are. And that's why we do the show that we do, you know. And at least you're getting paid for it. We don't. But we do get to talk to, you know, good brewers like you and free beer every now and then. So.
Well, places like you, people like you, help us get the word out. So thank you very much. You'll help us exist longer. There will be more and more craft breweries out there. It's all good.
I'm going to put you on the spot here for a couple things.
Okay.
First one, I noticed on your website there's some beers that you guys produce that aren't available here in PA yet. Are those ever going to be available? Or?
Yes, I completely expect them to. What I want to do, though, is I want to take on customers appropriately.
Right.
If I say everything's available and all of a sudden the demand goes so high that I can't produce it, I will actually lose market share in the long run. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, the craft breweries took on more customers than they could supply very often, and that gave the retailers a bad taste in their mouth. I will not do that. I've been able to analyze what our customer base is and make sure that I only release the beers that are appropriate. There's a couple beers I haven't released in PA because of that. I believe once I do release them, my sales will go pretty high, so I want to make sure I've got the production capacity to make sure that my waits when people order are less than 4 weeks. Otherwise, they'll get a bad taste in their mouth. I'm a businessman. I know what people expect. When they order your beer, they want it in less than 4 weeks. So it's very important to make sure you can produce what you can sell.
And the second thing I was going to put you on the spot for is you should really invite us out to your brewery sometime to do a full hour show with you.
Oh, I'd love to do that. We host beer tours all the time. We don't have a bar or restaurant, but that's good in a way because it's more relaxed. We don't have to close down or go into a separate room. Our brewery's small and intimate, and I could just set the schedule such that we could get together and do a long interview if you like. Good.
Now what if somebody, besides someone of our statue, should I drink that, say the average day Joe wants to come in and get a tour of the brewery, what do they have to do?
We do tours all the time. I just always suggest a call before you come. Sometimes we can do them impromptu, or sometimes if you were to call same day, we'd say, geez, we can't do it today based on several things. Like today, I'm here. So what will happen is I always ask people, try to schedule it with me ahead of time. That way I can make sure that everything in the schedule is freed up and I can chill out and talk with you for a while. Yeah, thanks. We just went through an expansion where I'll be able to make 1,000 cases a month, so I'm excited to be able to release some of the beers I haven't released into PA. It'll only be a matter of months before we get everything concrete to a point where I know what my future sales will be and I can take on new customers with these new beers.
On a small note, another thing I love about your beers, not so much the beer itself, but your labels.
Oh, how nice.
Not even the artwork, which I love, by the way. I homebrew. And it's a pain in the ass to get some of the labels off some of the beers. Yours peel off like bumper stickers. I love that.
And you know, it's not something I get a chance to mention often, but you're right. As a home brewer, when you buy our beers, at least you're getting a bottle that you can reuse without any effort. And if you go out and buy those bottles, they're about 75 cents a piece. So you get a little bit of a rebate, not much, but at the same time, that is nice. That was not intended, but it's just a benefit of having these higher grade plastic labels. They don't wrinkle and they come right off.
I'm a lazy home brewer, so one of my pet peeves is letting that shit soak in the sink, and but yours peel right off. I could like drink your beer, peel the label off while I'm sitting at the damn table, and I'm done.
Darn right, and for label collectors, that's easy to do too. They peel off without any wrinkles.
And I think on a bonus for you as well, every one I pull off, I stick up somewhere, so it's like free advertising for you.
Oh, you're killing me. Awesome, man. That's cool as hell.
It's not graffiti.
I appreciate all your kudos, man. That's awesome.
I love your brewery, man. I love them. Hey, great to talk to you. I really appreciate your time. We'll be talking again soon, I hope.
I appreciate everything you guys do. You're helping everyone realize what's up with craft breweries. Thank you.
Bud Miller Coors be damned. Or actually, now it's InBev and SAB.
Don't forget the website.
Yeah, what is your website, Fred?
Thanks for asking. HoppinFrog.com. Hoppin is without a G. HoppinFrog.com.
And no apostrophe there either. It's just Hoppin.
I got to say one other thing. Frog is my nickname. So I can say that Frog is my name and hops are my game. Hoppin Frog.
That's beautiful, man. You should put that on your labels.
I should. Thanks for the idea. Can I use that?
Yeah, you certainly can, man. Just put our logo down there in the corner of the label. That'd be great.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right, hey, thanks again, Fred.
Thank you. Appreciate the interview.
Awesome.
Thanks for the opportunity.
I can say articulate.
So I just realized that the afternoon session is over. I'm out here, you know, getting cancer and talking to some assholes. But speaking of assholes, you guys want to introduce yourselves?
I am an asshole, and my name's TJ.
I'm Misty.
Hello, people. What do you guys think of the beer fest, man?
It was awesome.
I'd say it was beautiful, like a piece of heaven that came down to me, and I drank and ate it up.
I thought it was going to get dirty there for a second.
And then I fucked it.
It was beautiful, like a fine vagina. That's why I want to do shouldIeatThat.com, but Spoon won't let me. But overall, good experience, guys?
It was a great experience. My favorite fest ever.
Yeah, Hop and Frog was a big surprise. They had some really good ones.
Yeah, wait till you hear the interview I did with Fred. He's like, everybody calls me Frank. And I almost said it because he told me that. But what was your favorite beer of the day?
Well, my favorite beer of the day was, I'm going to give a big shout out to Trash. And I'm not talking trash. Their Imperial Stout was amazing. Best beer of the day. It was like a party in my mouth. I love that party.
I'll have to try that on the next session, man. We're doing our job on this one, so next one we're just going to get totally fucking smashed.
10%?
Yeah, brother. I was even down at the Oscar Blues bench, and I'm like, where's your 1050? He goes, dude, it's a brew fest. No. Like, come on, you bastards. But anyway, guys, not sticking around for the second one, right?
No, we're going to go drink some more beer at home.
Fatheads.
Or you're really close to East End.
Exactly.
You got 2 hours before growler hour's over.
We took our growler out of the car to fit all the people, so now we'll just have
buy
to
buy a new one. It's $2 extra.
The East End Double Cherry that was made for the Big Four, fucking excellent.
Yes,
I loved it.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Uncle Crappy for that one because I didn't get a chance to get in line, but he gave me his. So
it was really
good. And Rivertown's Imperial was good as well.
Imperial stout.
I'm just sorry you guys didn't get a chance to hit Church Brew Works secret stash. Go in there. Go try and get
can
it.
Can we hit them now?
Just say, hey, SIDT sent us. Can you get us one? We'll sample real quick and then do it. All right, guys. Thanks very much, man. See you at Three Sons.
We're here in between sessions right now with the West Virginia Beer Geek. So what would you say so far is...
Our man on the street for West Virginia?
I guess so. How many beer geeks do you have in West Virginia?
I'm from the holler. I don't know.
So what would you say so far has been your favorite brewery?
Oh, I can't pick one brewery, but I will pick a beer today. Hoppin' Frog, Silk Porter, Run Through the Coffee Tower.
Amen to that.
I wanted to get on my knees and praise to somebody. No fellatio today, but I will pray. I'm not even fucking religious, dude.
Neither am I, brother. It's
the
okay.
Church of Beer.
Exactly.
And that's the church that we all worship at, yes. Too. So what was the one beer that you've been looking forward to before you knew who was here? And what's the one beer that you really wanted to try?
I don't know. There's a lot of hype beers.
That's okay. We can edit, so.
Yeah, we can cut that out.
This is Chris Dilla from Bachtown.
You were talking to my husband earlier.
Oh, we need to talk to you.
For sure. I need to go to the bathroom.
Go for it.
Line just give you the mic. You just chat away.
The line is short. This is your big chance.
This is my first one. Hyped up beers. I don't know. I can't even pick one because I wasn't even like, this beer's going to be here. I know the...
That's a true beer snob right there. Geek. I hate to use that word snob.
East End. Double cherry was the buzz, and I did enjoy it. It was tart, kind of like some aged vagina.
Exactly.
It was very good.
He's talking about my mom again.
Exactly.
Oh, what? Guys are coming through with the table. I didn't want to get whacked with that.
It's Brian. He'd take us out.
So how many beer fests on average do you go to a year?
I don't hit everyone up, man. I'm a nurse during the day. I'm not a superhero or anything. I don't get to put on my cape and fly to all of them. I'm just your typical guy.
It's a good thing because I can see me going to the hospital and him as my nurse. Going, I need to give this shot. I missed. Shit.
Yeah. Enemas are fun when you're buzzed.
So overall, not just with what we have here, but what is your favorite beer? Or what is your favorite style of beer?
Favorite style? I'm a hoppy guy. I mean, like,
yeah, me
and
too,
it, there are more hops in my face, and I'll probably enjoy it. Double IPA, barley wines that are aggressive, but not so sweet that they make you want to puke.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. All beer is good. It's just from what perspective.
All right. Now this is kind of putting you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
You're on an island. You can only drink one beer. Which beer is that?
It's going to be a session beer. It's not going to be your aggressive... in-your-face double IPAs. Today here, Levitation Ale was hoppy and it was low in alcohol. It was beautiful. That we never get it in the Berg. Stone brought it in.
Even on that note, that's the very first keg of Levitation to come to PA was what we had today.
This place is heaven.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it.
And I had it about 3 years ago in SoCal, and that was the last time. And they said they made it even hoppier so it would survive the travel. So it's right. Coming to PA in the next year for people interested.
That would be me. For sure, man.
We can only have our fingers crossed.
Right on, dude.
All right, this is Father Spoon. We're at the halfway point here of the Steel City Big Pour 2008.
This will be Sick Puppy at the end of the next session. You're pretty.
Feel free to translate.
This is Sick Puppy once again, and we are here between sessions at the Steel City Big Pour. And we are here talking with Woody. How you doing, Woody?
Excellent. Good to see you guys again.
Why, thank you. Woody's kind of a, how should I say this, a character at the Brewfest?
Would you say it that way? I go with beer personality.
Beer personality sounds great. If you look at the pictures on Should I Drink That for the beer festival, you'll know what we're talking about. He wears the apron kind of covers it up, but... There you go, Woody. He's wearing a monk outfit, kick-ass beard. And you want to tell everybody why you're here? Or?
Sure. Well, actually, I write for L Street News. I cover the Pennsylvania beat with the exception of Philadelphia.
But even though I grew up and live 70 miles from Philly in Lancaster, I consider myself a Pittsburgh guy, so it doesn't take much to get me to come out to the Berg. And I was out here last year for the fest, and I thought, man, this is a really neat idea for a fest.
Well, it's one of the better ones I've been to.
And they talked about improvements, and I have to admit, just simply moving the hot metal pour away from the wind is a big improvement.
Now this year, what do they have? They have an organic food section and a Belgian section.
Well, that Belgian section, man, I'll tell you, I was talking to Brian Sprague from Sprague Farms. I didn't spend enough time in the Belgian section during the first session, so really, if you're looking for a second session, if this makes it online quickly enough, I'll be over there.
Next week.
Okay, well, I was over there. I'm not going to be on the main floor too much second session. Go
where, on the floor in the second session.
Yeah, wait, go where the good beer is.
Exactly.
Sort of. Not to exclude anybody, but that kind of stuff is, that's...
Yeah, I'm a big Belgian fan. What are you talking about?
That's a second session thing.
Right, exactly, brother. I mean, hey, great talking to you, man.
Yeah, you bet. Nice talking to you guys.
Yep, definitely, man. Cheers.
Right on. Cheers.
We're here at the Blocktown. I guess it's not really tent. It's the stand would be the best way to put it, because we don't have tents inside the warehouse. Otherwise, it would be extremely hot. So, Chris, if you could tell us a little bit about Blocktown and what you guys do.
We do as much as we can with American craft beer, regional craft beer, and great homemade food. We support as many local businesses as we can and represent as much about true craft beer as we can. 16 beers on tap all the time, and 16 behind it are different. We never keep the same beer on twice. We repeat, but we keep them in rotation. We try to be cool with Pembury, East End, Victory Trogues, all the great Pennsylvania breweries, and then we also do great things with different styles. We try to always keep on a American-made Belgian-style triple, a barley wine or a strong ale, and we do just great beer. Every time you come there, you're going to find a different beer that you might still like, a double IPA. No matter who it's from, there's usually a double IPA. 400 bottles in our beer library. We change those out seasonally, and if they're not moving, we stick them in a mystery six-pack and sell them out the door. And we also do great food. All of our food is homemade. We're about the only non-chain restaurant in the Robinson area. So folks that don't want to come down into Pittsburgh anymore to get to, you know, the hot spots, they can still get some good beer and stay a little closer to home.
Can you tell us a little about the she crab soup?
Actually, I should bring Chef Scotty in for the recipe, but it's called she crab because they used to use the roe from the female. It's a creamy crab soup, low Carolina style, and they call it she crab because they put a female crab roe into it. It oranges it up, it gives it a distinct flavor. We don't do that anymore, but it has the name, and it's very, very good, homemade every Friday. Our hot sausage meatballs are also homemade every day. We have a sandwich there. Instead of a meatball sub, it's hot sausage sub, but it's made into a meatball format. It's very, very delicious. We have sandwiches, fresh cut fries, and great entree features every day. We don't have entrees on our menu, but we have rotating entrees on our feature sheet that change daily. We have Pumpkin Fest coming up, so we do a lot of pumpkin soup, schnitzel, and you know, all kinds of great fall features. We pay attention to the seasons. We cook with beer. And we just care about it. I honestly don't care if we ever make a damn dime. I just want us to represent good food and good beer in this city and make a place I would like to go, honestly, for real. It sounds like a bunch of bullshit, but I want a place that I would like to hang out.
But making a dime doesn't hurt, though.
No, that doesn't hurt. And hopefully we can make a dime. I think down the road we will make a dime. At this point, I'm $300,000 in debt to a bank owns it, just like he owns your house, you know?
And I'm sure the drink tax doesn't help much either.
Nope. Drink tax definitely doesn't help us at all. I'm definitely a part of the fight. I think the biggest problem with the drink tax fight is that they're getting petition signatures from people who don't live in Allegheny County. It's a very difficult battle that they're fighting. They need to do it more like maybe door-to-door. rather than just getting the people out in the bars, because people out in the bars are signing Mickey Mouse. They don't really don't care. They don't understand it.
We've already heard that Steely McBeam has signed it a couple times also.
Correct. I mean, it's always going to be the problem, but 40,000 real signatures. I'm not sure how many people live in Allegheny County, but 40,000 real signatures is a tough number. Tough number. And now, do they throw away the whole sheet because there's one bad signature on it? I don't know. It's a very tough battle. If they would have introduced that tax at 1% or 2% and eased it up, I think the whole county would have accepted it. The basic problem for me is the cost of administrating, paying it, and then if somebody uses their charge card to pay for the tax, like if you buy $55 worth of stuff, I have to pay a percentage on that back to the credit card companies. So I do have a real cost associated with the drink tax. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'll do what I have to do, keep my business afloat. Our customers do have money and do want to spend. I just think it's wrong to just come in and just slap that tax on everybody, that's all. And we're non-smoking from the get-go, but even slapping the Indoor Clean Air Act on a lot of places, it's a real strange battle. I mean, I'm pro non-smoking bars and restaurants because I have asthma, because I had to work in it for 20 years, and you're bothering my workplace if you're in there smoking. I have to breathe that air. But yet I do think it should be the individual company's choice. To say, and they can to a degree now. They can become clubs and make them sign.
I'm a smoker, but the whole smoking thing aside for me, I mean, I get a lot of slack because I am a smoker and I'm against that. But it's not because of the smoking at all. I mean, what if they said the same thing about a hamburger?
Right.
Or your crabs. You can't have crabs in your soup anymore.
Or tomorrow,
should be your decision, not the government's. That's my bottom line.
Tomorrow, beer sold in 13-ounce bottles instead of 12-ounce bottles and costs everybody a lot of money.
Exactly.
Right. Whatever the imposition is costing somebody money along the way.
Right.
So,
as a smoker, I'm kind of stuck between both sides because I agree with it.
You know, I know smoking's bad for me. I'm not an idiot. But, again, that's my choice to do that. And
I like the fact that they're making it a workplace safety issue. So that part about it, I agree about that part. I just don't agree that you have no choice in the matter. Like 20% food sales or whatever. Yeah. You could advertise your place as a smoking eatery, and if you sign off, you're coming in there. Your employees can sign off. I'm going to work here.
Right.
It's a personal preference.
Exactly.
But I will tell you, 80% of the public does not smoke unless they're drinking. So if they can come out and sit down and eat a smoke-free meal, step outside to smoke and make it pleasant for everybody, I have no problem with it. We've been smoke-free since we opened. And I like I said, the asthma part of it, a lot of my customers say they have problems breathing and it ruins their experience. You can't smell the good beer anymore. So there's a lot of reasons it's good for us. And like you, I sit right on the fence with it. But I would like to take it out of the government's hands.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's
sure.
My bottom line. Right?
Yeah.
Limited government.
Now here's the big thing that I wanted to ask. Smoking and everything else aside.
We're
done with the issues.
We're way too serious now for this damn show.
Let's see. We're gonna chill a little bit.
Say something like, "What's your favorite beer?"
Actually, it was kind of along those lines. What would you say is one of your number one sellers?
Style-wise, our IPAs and our double IPAs are our best sellers. We change
brewery. Yeah, brewery-wise.
Yeah, we change our beers an awful lot. Yeah. We do, but. House favorites are Pennsylvania beers. I would say you're going to get into Trogues, Weyerbacher, Dogfish. I'd say those three are probably like ones that just people come clamoring for. But we do so much that I can't really gauge it. I don't have like a clear cut. We support East End and Penbury constantly, and people definitely drink those. They support the local breweries. But we are, like, if we're pouring a Pilsner, an IPA, a double IPA, a Belgian triple style, they'll hop around. They'll like, oh, well, I'm the Pilsner kind of guy.
No pun intended.
That's true.
They'll hop around.
Yeah. Hoppin' Frog's awesome. Bell's is awesome. I can't name a bad brewery here. Except for maybe the one they're serving us during the break.
We haven't been out there yet.
It's our show. You can say it.
Yeah, we can edit. It's Blue Moon. We'll say that because we're going to edit the shit out of this.
Well, I don't even begin to understand that because, I mean, I'm not trying to bash, I'm not going to bash the wholesaler for bringing it in, but this isn't about big beer. It's about.
But see, the plus side is they're outside, away from the rest of us.
I find that kind of funny.
They don't have a booth.
Get out there.
Yeah. The one thing I'm doing here today is trying to taste beer I've never had before.
Right.
So I've gone over to the home brewers because I know that's a one-of-a-kind, never-to-be-had-again kind of a beer. They can't necessarily recreate it tomorrow, you know.
Yeah.
And I look towards breweries like Hop and Frog, who's trying to get going, Rivertown, Sprague Farms, those guys that are trying to really build themselves
right.
And in a hop shortage, in a bad economy. You know, trying to set themselves apart. Those are the guys I want to learn more about and help grow.
Yep. You know? Even me as a home brewer, I mean, my hop prices have increased exponentially. I can imagine what those guys go through, you know. I'm buying thousands of dollars worth. I'm buying like $5 worth. And it still makes me mad.
If you look at some of them, they have contracts. They've
right.
already pre-bought.
Yeah.
But what happens the next time they have to buy their contract?
Yeah.
So right now they might be okay. Next time around, they might not be so okay. And they need to know to keep their market small. You see a lot of them pulling back and just selling more regionally. A lot of Michigan breweries aren't willing to actually come this far anymore. A lot of companies aren't going into different states until they know that they can handle the market.
All right, well, really quick, website.
Website, bocktown.com.
And where can we find you in Pittsburgh?
You can come off the IKEA exit if you're doing some Christmas shopping out in the Robinson area. It is retail hell. You're going towards the airport. You're going to make a left. Thanks, Dave. You're going to make a left off the IKEA exit, which is Robinson Town Center exit. Go to the third light, Circuit City. Make a left up into Target's parking lot. Look over into the most mundane shopping plaza you've ever seen. There we are, a beacon of light in the corner. Indoor, outdoor, seating, music, all kinds of fun. Bocktown.com, you'll find us.
And the other cool thing, too, is it's close to the airport. So if you just want to fly in really quick, grab some beers and leave, which a lot of people like to do because people exit Pittsburgh all the time, it's a perfect place to go because it's only, what, 20 minutes away?
It's
I'm probably
going to
hit the shit out of that. But
yeah, about 10 minutes from the airport, 20 minutes from downtown. And the other great thing is if you're waiting for somebody at the airport, leave your house early, have a beer, and tell them to call you when they're going to get their luggage, and then meet them. That's the way to do it.
And then you can meet them. Do you guys sell growlers?
We do sell growlers, and they're actually on sale every Saturday from 12 to 4. Our dog is named Growler, and she's our little mascot. So we do a little growler sale every Saturday from 12 to 4, but every single day. If you have your own growler, bring it in. We'll fill it up. If you want to buy one from us, we also sell them.
All right, very cool. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Spoon.
All right.
Thank you.
We're out of here.
Thank you. Thanks for the questions. I like
that. Get ready. We're going to go grab something to eat here and see what's going on. Father Spoon, we're here at the second session now. I just started. Yeah, that's Sick Puppy. We just started the second session here at the Steel City Big Pour. And let me tell you, another sold-out crowd. This is fantastic. Everyone's starting to pile in here to Construction Junction.
It seems the women are just as fantastic at the second round as it was the first.
Yeah, I definitely have to give the props for the eye candy here in Pittsburgh. Definitely a very, very nice selection.
It's definitely the second buffet I've been to today.
So we're going to make our way around. There's a few more brewers that we haven't talked to yet. And we'll see who we can get to talk to us that won't throw some legal mumbo-jumbo in our face.
Yeah, I guess that's expected from a bigger brewery, but I digress.
Father Spoon here at Piper's Pub, and I am joined by Drew. And right now they got the Black Strap-On Stout, and they also have some foods here that are made with the beer. Drew, if you could tell us a little bit about the Piper's Pub and what you guys have.
Piper's Pub's a Scottish pub in the south side of Pittsburgh. We've been there for the last 10 years. We do a lot of traditional English, Irish, Scottish food, as well as alcohol. Recently just got into doing cask ale, sort of the way they do it in England, and decided to buy our own firkin, start working with the brewers locally, and it's going very well. We're serving some Blackstrap Stout in the firkin today on cask, and we've also made our normal Diageo-based product, Guinness Stew, into a Blackstrap Stew for the festival, and everybody really likes it.
Now, for our listeners who aren't familiar with it, what exactly is a firkin?
Firkin is a vessel, 10.8 gallons exactly, to hold unpasteurized, unfiltered, uncarbonated beer. It's naturally carbonated by its own yeast. It's a live product. It only lasts about 3 days once you open. You got to naturally vent it. It's got its own natural CO2, and we pull it to the bar by hand pumped, and it's served at about 55 degrees.
So basically, once you open this thing, you're making a commitment to drink it.
You certainly are. You got 3 days. First day, it's good. Second day, it's great. Third day, it's good again. Fourth day, there should be no fourth day.
Perfect. Now, for people that are outside of Pittsburgh, where exactly can they find you?
They can find me at piperspub.com, but I'm on the south side of Pittsburgh, East Carson Street. It's probably the one place that anybody in Pittsburgh is going to send you to go drinking if they say, hey, where should I go drink in Pittsburgh? I don't know. We got 150-some bars on the same street, so we're pretty easy to find. We're 5 minutes from downtown Pittsburgh and 6 minutes from the stadiums.
All right, now really quick, can you give us an example of what your menu's like?
We have things like Bangers and Mash, Guinness and Stew, Toad in the Hole, English breakfast. We do Irish breakfast, and we do standard American fare as well.
All right, perfect. Well, hey, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thanks. Aaron with Stone Brewing Company.
And what do you do for Stone?
I am the Midwest Beer Ambassador.
That's an awesome title, by the way. Can you tell us a little bit about the beers you have here today?
Well, we had three beers. We have two on draft right now, the Oaked Arrogant Bastard, which is our Arrogant Bastard aged in New American Oak Chips. Stone IPA, which is Magnum and Centennial Hop IPA. We had Levitation, which was the only keg of Levitation in the state of Pennsylvania, but it is gone.
I'm glad I got a chance to try that in the first session, man.
I'm glad you did, too. That's pretty awesome beer. I was very happy to bring it to this show.
As far as your newer beers, are they going to become the PA at all? Your collaboration one that you guys just did?
Good question. No. The
damn.
The McKellar collaboration probably will not see. It's McKellar, Ale Smith, and us, and it probably will not be distributed outside of our brewery. You might see some in a small scale, maybe for a beer dinner or something like that. Check out our website, stonebrew.com, and you can find out if that's going to be available, maybe at a beer dinner or something like that, but only for special events, not outside the brewery.
Awesome. So, what do you think of the event so far here in Pittsburgh?
This is one of my favorite events in Pittsburgh that I've been to. Probably one of my favorites of the summer. This is our first year at the Construction Junction event. And I will have to say, really well put together, really creative, and what a fun ambiance, great people. This is really one of the best festivals I've done this year.
Yeah, I thought last year's was great, but they topped it this year. It's an awesome event. Hey, thanks for talking to me, man.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Cheers, brother.
This has been Sick Puppy.
This is the Most Reverend Father Spoon for ShouldIDrinkThat.com. We're wrapping up the Steel City Big Pour here, second annual. Great day, great times, great food, great beer.
Great people.
One thing we do want to bring up really quick for everyone, too, is now this is where we need your help. Right now, the 2008 Podcast Awards are going on, and we need you to nominate us.
That's right, bitches.
You get one nomination per email, so, you know, you got a couple extra accounts in there. Show us a little extra love.
Two or three PCs, you know how that works.
Go to podcastawards.com or follow the link off of the shouldidrinkthat.com website and nominate us under the food and drink section, which I believe is on the right-hand side, about fifth or sixth one down.
Yeah, or the fifth one down.
For the name, of course, Should I Drink That? And then also for the website, shouldidrinkthat.com. Appreciate all the love you guys can give us there. And also, this is the same award that we were finalists for last year, so definitely we want to be finalists, and absolutely we want to come home with the hardware this year.
That's right, man.
So voting ends, or nominations, I should say, end
right.
On the 30th of September at 11:59 p.m., so get those votes in. If you're listening to this after voting has ended, go to the site and see if we're a finalist. If we are, hey, vote for us. You can vote as much as you want after that.
So vote like you've never voted before.
And this is probably the last show you're going to hear from us for a little bit, so to give you guys some time, a little breather in between since we've been pounding out shows here. We don't want to fill up your iPod there or your MP3 player with a ton of Should I Drink That? You get behind, and then maybe you feel like skipping a few.
Right. We do have a video or two coming up, so look forward to that.
Plenty of content coming up, and we look forward to your support. As always, thank you, guys. We appreciate it, and, hey, we do this for you.
That's right. Eat a bullet.
ForShouldIDrinkThat.com, the most reverend Father Spoon.
This is Sick Puppy.
Or even if it's crap,
we drink it.
So you don't have to.
That's right, brother.
Bitches!
We out.